NCR Mobile.
How you doing? NC9B. Where you going?
Well, we're just making a egg run down to the Daughters. Let me turn this radio down here. And Bernice wanted to buy her some of these fancy measuring cups, so we got those to take down to her. Just goofing off mostly. How's your day?
Oh, it's really windy up here. I've got a big log outside. I think I'm going to go out and move. Pull the tractor out. Get the chainsaw out and move it and spice it up. But it's been windy and not doing, just taking around the house, doing house stuff.
Interesting anyways. What are you going to do to the tractor?
Did to pull the log out. I've got it, set it down a bank a little bit, about 6-8 feet down a bank. And it's a big log. Go ahead and take it out, because it was just closer to the house than what I wanted. So, had a buddy of mine come up and he topped it out and then cut the long piece, pulled it over. So I'm going to pull it out of there and get it as sliced up, get it out of my view anyway. Just tidy up the yard a little bit. And please tell Ms. Bernice that I said hello when he's in the kitchen playing around. So one day we're going to catch up together.
Leon.
Say it again, I didn't see you.
Okay, hello, Leon.
There, I keyed it. I think I was a little behind her. She's with me here, as always. And say hello to your wife, too. Well, that sounds good. The last tree I took out was about 2 grand, and it was a 100-footer, and they climbed it. And I worked every day with the possibility of working at 65 feet, you know, as an electrician on overhead cranes and that, and lighting ballasts and such. And I got to tell you, that guy made me nervous. And I always like working up high, but not like they did. The old boys swing a rope and throw a weight up there and pull a rope up and climb that tree. He had more guts than a packing house.
Yeah. And I heard you twice, Miss Bernice. I hope you have a great day. Keep him straight. But, Tom, if I pay over $100, I'll pay it way too much to have a tree taken out. But when the guy went up the tree, he was making me nervous, too. Not for the fact of, I don't like heights at all. It used to not bother me as much. I was dangling off a 28-foot ladder one time trying to put a cable tap in a line, or put a line in a cable tap, and just dangling off the ladder with one arm, hoping the ladder didn't slide on the line. But yeah, I don't do heights anymore. Something about the sudden stop at the bottom. But he came up and he cut it out with a friend of my daughter's, and I paid him $100 to do it, and so I just take care of the rest. Just get it down for me. So that's what we're going to work on today. You know, I have a little small L3400 run in the 3400 series. I think 26 horsepower. And then they've got a Massey Ferguson 255, which is 55 horsepower. He's a good bit bigger. He's my big red tractor. But they both come in real handy up here, especially when it snows and you have Hurricane Helene's come through or whatever.
You live out up there, Leon, by how far, I might ask, and boy, that'd be nice. Those Kubotas are really good property, and I don't know what the red one is. Bernice used to drive tractor when she was younger, and I drove her mom's tractor a little bit. I think it was an International one at Grace.
Yeah.
And then they had another one that was an H one,
yeah,
model, a real old one. But that's been a few years ago. I'm just not able to anymore, Leon. It scares me because my balance is not as good. My feet aren't as big. Well, they're big, but I don't know. My heels have shrunk or something. And I'm 77 years old. I just don't belong doing that anymore. And I miss it. I always help guys take towers down and things like that. And I had a 50-foot tower at home back in Kansas 16 years ago. But I don't know how far up north you live there.
Into Chimney Rock Park.
Yes, sir. Our daughter took us up there when we was on vacation down here one time. It's beautiful.
From my house to Chimney Rock Park. I'm on the back side of Chimney Rock. So you go up the rock. I guess we're a little bit higher than the rock, but yeah. We can sneak in the back way. But the Rangers come up here. They actually, the Land Conservancy was... sold some land from the individual who I bought my land from. We've got 2.5 acres. And he sold some to Conservancy, so right at the dead end of my road is all now part of the state park. So, which is good. I hope they sell more. I wish they'd buy everything up to my property line. But yeah, it's peaceful and quiet up here. We love it. It's probably about a half a mile of dirt road. Which my neighbor, let it reset here, NC9V.
Getting 0 CR. Well, you know, in Kansas, it's all we had was dirt roads out in the country.
They just redid the road, and I mean, it's like an interesting town. I don't know what to say. We went from little mini log roads up here. Now it's almost out of place.
Out there, we could shoot out in my backyard. And I had several nice targets that I had bought, and they built 2 houses right in front of them out there. And I miss that, but I'm getting older. It's not the end of the world, you know. I still go over at the shooting range. I belong to shooters, I guess they call it over there. But I don't like shooting inside. It's noisy, and I just don't like it. And always makes you wonder if somebody's going to have an accidental discharge or something. But I've lived a good life, so that don't scare me too much. Well, that's wonderful. That's gorgeous up there. We used to go up to the Chicken Man, and he lived in Flat Rock. And that was the prettiest drive up there to get them chickens, but... He moved his headquarters over to Boiling Springs Inman, and it's a pain in the rear to always lose my way over there for some reason. But I ordered up 5 more chickens from him the other day. I'll pick them up in January. He guarantees them to be all hens, and they're 8 weeks old, so they're fully feathered. As long as you got a good chicken house and cover for them, they'll survive fine, so I ordered 5 new ones ahead of time. These other ones of ours are getting too old, but Bernice likes to have them. It's a hobby, and I enjoy them too, I guess. Well, you live up there in Avalon, as far as I'm concerned.
With you, the very first part of that, I got to the part where we were talking about shooting outdoors before you... For the range and everything, used to shoot. That's why I unkeyed the mic and found that you were talking. Sorry about that, Tom. But, yeah, we love it up here. My wife, she wanted chickens when we first moved up, and we got her some chickens. And built a little pen and everything. And apparently the foxes and whatnot decided they liked the chickens more than we did. Because we come up with chickens missing, and eventually we had no chickens left. So... But she liked taking care of them and feeding them and getting the eggs and everything.
I had a nice shooting range in my backyard, and this old boy, two of them, bought 22 acres back there. And out of that 22 acres, they had to build both their houses right behind ours, so I can't shoot out there now. I guess I could, but I'm out in the county between Lake Robinson and Lake Cunningham. But I wouldn't be a very good neighbor if I did. And he's got kids and that. And I can turn around and shoot to the west. But I haven't. I'm getting older, and I just don't do that much of it anymore. And I give almost all my stuff to my my kids already, my grandkids and my son-in-law, they all hunt and fish. So, just keep a few for self-defense. But, I enjoyed that. And then when they come in at Christmas, we'd have a big shootout back, and I taught my grandsons how to shoot, and I bought each one of them a Henry rifle, and I guess one of these days they're going to have to come and get them. They're locked up in the gun safe, but one of them just turned 18, and the other one's too young. I always let them shoot them if they come over, but I never did turn them loose with them, put it that way.
Yeah, NC9V. I bought my grandson a 410 22 interchangeable, so he can use it as a 22 or a 410 shotgun, single shot. And he loves that thing. Loves to come up and shoot. And we're on a knoll, so down below the knoll, we've got a driveway, and down below, and you can just shoot straight into the bank. So we set up a little target range, and I take all my array of firearms down there and let them all shoot them. And the grandkids love it. It's getting so costly now to do that. But, yeah, we thoroughly enjoy it. My son, he likes to come up and hunt every now and then. We got a nice little spot down below, and more people are moving in. So, you know, the deer and the wildlife are getting harder and harder to find places to stay. The other day, me and the wife were sitting there, and there was a whole bunch of deer at the bottom of our driveway. I just texted my son, and I said, will you go come up here and get these deer out of my driveway?
Well, that's wonderful. I hate to hear that. Same thing's happening with us since they moved down there. We had five coyotes in the game camera one day, two mom and dads and their little ones. We had seven raccoons at one time down there. And we've had several pairs of foxes. One I thought was a bobcat. And, of course, the regular old possums. And then the feral cats, they come up and visit my chickens now and then. And the kids built us a chicken house and hauled it in. And then we added a dog run to the back of it and built a nesting area in that. And so actually we got two separate pens there hooked together. And unfortunately you can't put the little ones in with the big ones or they'll kill them. So we have to keep them separate. I like to let them run on both sides, you know. But the chicken man said that if they pick one of them and draw blood, they'll kill it. So we don't do it. Cannibals. Chickens, they can be some of the nastiest critters. Let them out, the hawks would get them, and or the other animals. But I miss seeing them in the game camera. I picked up the SD card out of it yesterday, and all there was deer in it. And I don't hunt deer. My neighbor, his son-in-law does. He hunts with a bow. But he used to hunt down there with a rifle, but you can't do it now with those houses down there. But I always love seeing the wildlife, and we'd always take scraps of food down there, and I'd lay them on this log down there, and they still disappear every night. I put them some chicken wings down there yesterday. They're all gone today.
Game cameras we put down there. We had bears, bobcats, deer, and bucks. I mean, there's a whole gamut of everything. Foxes. I probably should have taken the camera back down and put it back out, but I haven't done it yet. So my son, he actually talked to me. talked to me, the bug just bit me. We went to Walmart and ended up buying a rifle. And 243 Winchester. And I love that little thing. It's a great little rifle. He says, I want to buy it from you. I haven't shot anything with it yet. I don't know. I may end up selling it or not.
Shoot a lot of 22-250. I had a Winchester heavy barrel for coyotes, and I had a John and Earl scope on it that was 15 power. That was as long as the barrel, and I've hand loaded for 50 years, Leon. I loved it. I had a buddy that he shot every day of the week, I think, and wanted me to, but I didn't do it that much. But we cast our own bullets and loaded our own shells, and I've had most every kind of handgun there is. Of course, if I, back then I was poor, if I needed another one, well, I'd have to trade in the old one. And a lot of those I could kick myself, I wish I had back, like my Thompson Contender. But I still have a Dillon reloader. If you ever buy a reloader, buy a Dillon. That's the best darn thing. Go to Dillon.com and look that up. They're built, we'll say it nicely, heck meant for stout. And you'll never need another one. Hand loading's even got more expensive, though. I used to buy primers, $10 a thousand, penny a piece. Now they're $80 a thousand. And powders, oh, I don't know, $30-$40 a pound. I used to buy it in a paper bag from Ryder's Sporting Goods back up there in Kansas. They'd buy a 50-pound keg, and then they would sell it in paper bags for $2.75. If you bought the DuPont stuff, it was $3. You know, Unique was one of my favorites, and then we loaded shotgun shells at my buddy's to hunt ducks and geese with. But, I just did a lot of hunting and fishing back then up in Kansas. And I'm just not able to anymore. There's just no way. My brother-in-law had a farm, and he had 135 acres, so we could always go out there and have a ball. And he was on the pistol team with the Wichita Police Force. Boy, I had a heck of a time trying to beat him when we'd shoot.
My kids, they keep wanting to have a competition. My daughter, she's getting pretty good. But they have a hard time beating old Dad. But they don't understand. Dad's had a gun on his side for 44 years. I've done a lot of shooting in my time. When I first started in Charleston, Charleston Police Department, they had a supply sergeant, an old guy by the name of Trinipo. He reloaded the wad cutters for the entire department for qualifications. So, one of my first jobs as a side was to help him. So he'd sit there and run the machine, and I'd sit there and hand him stuff and take care of, you know, walk-ins and stuff while he was sitting there just running the machine. And it was just spitting out wad cutters one at a time. Just kept them coming out. But, you kind of wish you could go back to the days where you could buy them $2.50 bags of powder. Yeah, that's not going to be anytime soon. But you only got 10 years on me, though. I'm 10 years younger than you, so I guess I'm catching up. I don't know how that works, but I hear you. It's good talking to you, Tom, though.
Enjoyed it. Jerry used to come on here a lot. I haven't heard him in a long time. I hope he's all right. He was down around Anderson. He's very knowledgeable. I shot a lot of 270s and 30-06s and stuff like that. And, it was fun to go out and rabbit hunt and coyote hunt. Those wood cutters are super accurate. They let the heck out of the barrel. The most wicked one was for self-defense. I don't know if you ever heard of a hollow-base wad cutter, but they made them, and I didn't ever cast them. I had to buy them, but I didn't hardly ever use them. But you turn them upside down, Leon, and they were a great big hollow cavity in them. And I got to tell you, out of a 357, you could load them up, probably to 900 foot a second, and that was a wicked round. Now I think the best rounds out there for self-defense are those Hornaday self-defense rounds. But they just sit around, and you never use them because they're too expensive.
So expensive. I've seen a few of the wide cutters get put in backwards. Yeah, they make an odd, interesting looking hollow point, or not a hollow point, a hollow round with a wide cut. I don't know what you call it, but they still shoot. But we used to have a blast. Man, yeah, I had 270 at one time, 243. I've got my. You talk about Thompson. When you talk about that Thompson contender, our department had 5 Thompson submachine guns with the magazines and with the drums. Man, got to shoot one of those. Ooh, man. You talk about a ticket. Man, I wish I would have had one of them. They traded those 5 Thompsons to a gun shop for sidearms. They're upgrading the sidearms into an, I forget what they were getting. They went from the Smith & Wesson 40s to something else. But they traded those 5 Thompsons, and man, you talk about, I bet the gun shop guy was just tickled pink to get those things. Because, you know, they were worth a mint. But, yeah. Them old days, miss them. Let me go, Tom. I got to get going on this log. So I'm going to sign with you. You and Miss Bernice have a great day. Be careful. Take care and good talking to you. And like I said, one of these, we're going to lay eyes on each other. 73, and I'll be clear on your file, NC9B.
Yeah, the pleasure's all mine, Leon. Come by the house anytime if you're down this way. Have a cup of coffee, and Bernice usually got something baked. Well, the only time I've been around the 45 Thompson automatic like that was in boot camp when we went to the shooting range. They demonstrated the BAR, and boy, that's a wicked piece, and the Thompson contender, but you never got to touch it as a recruit. But yeah, that's a wicked piece of machinery. I have fired a full automatic AR 15 one time at a friend of mine's house. I don't want something like that, this full automatic at this age. I'll tell you for sure, it's a wicked weapon. Even though it's got a small bullet, it's real effective out 300 yards. And I think they're about 31 to 3,300 foot a second. And I used to shoot 53 grain hollow point matches from Hornaday in that 22-250, and it'd do unimaginable damage when it hit something. And of course, it was running, you could run them 3,850, but I ran them about 3,500 and got better accuracy. Take care, Leon. And 0 TR 73.
Yeah, one more thing, Tom. You talk about cost of ammo. I told a buddy of mine that runs a he said it's FFL. Got a little shop up here, sells hunting stuff, safes and such. And I had told him, I said, if you ever run across something that's 22 caliber revolver, I want a small 22 snub-nosed revolver. And I went in the shop one day. I gave him a name and number and everything. He never called me. Went in the shop one day, and he had one in the case. I said, why didn't you call me on this darn thing? It was a little Taurus. Taurus 9-shot 22. And I bought that thing right then and there. I didn't want that thing going anywhere. And that's why I had to carry it around, because you can plank 22s all day long and don't cost your arm or leg. But 73, Tom, you, Miss Bernice, have a great day. NC9B.
Yeah, back in the old days, I had a Trooper Mark III in 22 on a 357 frame. And as I remember, I sold that for about $200. Oh, I could kick myself. Anyways, I do have a K-22, though. Eat your heart out there, Leon. It was my brother-in-law's, and it'll go to my grandkids. 73, this is N0 TR Clear.